thinking about self-publishing and don't know where to start? Join the Spa Girls each week for 30 minutes of honest advice, tips and resources. I'm Trudy J and I'm here with Cheryl Phipps.
Hi there.
And Wendy Vella.
Hello.
Hello. That was a close run thing. I almost cracked up in the middle of that one.
It's one of those days. We're feeling happy.
We're feeling happy and joyous. Joyous to be in the world. And we are without the lovely Shah, but hopefully we can still manage to give you some interesting content that you can take away. Today we are going to talk about bonus material, reader magnets, those kinds of things, little extras that you can give for various reasons to your readers or potential readers. So what we're going to do is break it down into three different areas. One is readers, content that you can give at the back of your book for trying to get people to the next book. Then there would be content that you are using to get people into your newsletter. And then there's content that you can give to your super fans, the ones who are eager for more. So I want to start with the back matter first. So what kind of content are we talking with back matter? Who wants to go?
Go, Cheryl. I know you're chomping at the bit.
Well, if they've just finished the book, it's a really good idea to plug the next book with an excerpt. But you can also add a little something in there that only they would get, like not all the readers. But we're talking about newsletters afterwards, aren't we?
Yeah,
so
not
there. Not newsletters. So it could be anything, really, couldn't it? It could be just a little character analysis or something like that, something that they, I guess it's also for super fans as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hadn't really thought that one through, thanks, Trudy.
Okay, sorry. What I'm thinking of, the first thing that pops to my mind when I'm thinking of bonus content that goes in the back of a book is what Innes Johnson talked to us about. And that was like, she has the first book, which is obviously a romance, has two characters, and then she writes a bonus epilogue that's in the voice of the character for the next book in the series. And it's and it's got the hook. It's like some situation where it kind of really blatantly shows the hook for the next book. Mm-hmm. It's in the character's voice for the next book, so you get a sense of what they're like, and it leaves it on some kind of really big cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh my gosh, I have to find out what is happening next. And then that's a really strong way to lead you into the next book in the series. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit different because, you know, we all know the kind of, you know, the first chapter of the next book in the series kind of thing. But I just felt like when Innes talked to us about that, the epilogue, you know, of the next mm-hmm. character in the next book, that just seemed like such a strong idea to me that I just have always remembered it. And I haven't done it, but I know I should say it from a point of having done it, but Innes does it and it does it really successfully. Yeah. So I think that's a great idea.
I do too, and I think it's a good idea when you learn something like this to actually look at what you have got already set up so that you can tweak it, because often we have put in the excerpt for the next book, but maybe it's not the strongest call to action for somebody to purchase that next book, you know, like you really want to excite them about it, don't you? Mm. Like, so they just can't say no.
Yeah. So I always used to put the first chapter, and the first chapter is great. I mean, a first chapter should introduce the characters. It should have the hook, should have all these things in there, but then I've changed it and I did notice a slight jump, and I changed it to a scene where the two characters are getting it on a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's a scene where she kind of, they're kissing, and then something happens. It interrupts him and he says, oh, ignore it, and she's like, no, and she sort of pulls away, and it's just kind of got a bit more tension in there for me. And I think that that people quite like that, and it's a way to encourage them to the next book. So it wasn't the first chapter, but it was another part from the book that helped a lot. So is there any the other thing was a reader letter, so it's not quite the same thing as content in as much as it's engaging with the reader and sort of letting them know a bit more about you. And Michael Andelay used that to great advantage for his books, and people felt like they knew him and therefore wanted to be a part of that.
Is that where you're talking as the author about your characters, or just about your work, or about what's to come, or
the idea is that you talk as the author, but you like, for me personally, I would do it so that it was something that encouraged them to read the book or talked about the series or said, oh, you know, I loved writing about these two characters and and the next two characters, are you're going to love them because of this, this and this. And like, I would potentially think that that's a better way to do it than just to sort of talk about yourself as the author. And yeah, and go through like that, so that they're not they have the sense of who you are, but not that, and but that they still, it's still something that's going to encourage them to read the next book, so that it's not just fine. I mean, it is good to find out who you, more about who you are as the author, but in all honesty, they're more interested, they're interested in reading about your characters, right? Like, it's something that's going to be encouraging them to think more or act on that rather than you as the author. I don't know. I feel like that's the way to go. So is there any other content that you can think of that we should have at the back of a book to encourage people to read to the next book? That would you put a map, for example? I don't know.
I quite like to have a link to a family tree sometimes further on down. And that can sort of just be a freebie to them. You can give them a link to the website where that, whether it is or something like that. It's really more if you've got quite a few in the series towards the end. I think it helps people find their way through the book, you know, and they understand who's coming next and things like that. Obviously you can't pair them up, but the main characters within the family, within the series, you can have a family a link to. So yeah, I think sometimes family tree helps.
Actually, that's not a bad idea if you actually had that on your website, because you're also pushing people there as well. Yeah, they could see what other series you have. That's quite a good
idea. I think it's great. Yeah, no, it works well.
So you're not losing them to something else. You keep them within your world. And go from there. Okay, so the next kind of content that we want to talk about is content that you might use to encourage people to sign up for your newsletter, and it's often called a reader magnet or a starter set or something like that that's going to encourage. So what kind of content do you guys use for getting people onto your newsletter?
I have just lately started to write a bonus epilogue. So what I'll do is I'll move it forward 10 or 12 years or whatever, or 5 years, whatever. And then it'll be like, obviously you can't bring any other characters in who haven't already been involved in the series, but you can sort of see a little snapshot, like in the last historical one, it was a snapshot of where the couple were, what their children were doing. The one I'm doing now is a contemporary, and that's the same. They're at a Christmas pantomime, and they're all together, and he's with the kids. And so the characters you bring a little snapshot of the people that are in the book, and it's only about 3,000 words. But it's really great for a sign up. Sure, you're going to lose a few because they just want that, but you also get to keep a few as well. That's worked really well for me.
That's awesome. I really like that.
And have you had any pushback for that, Wendy? You know, I've heard a couple of authors say that they're annoyed because if it is an epilogue, it should be in the book and they shouldn't have to go elsewhere.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Look, you know, you're always going to get pushback. You get pushback for everything. But I've had a couple of people say, you know, it's annoying to have to sign up and go through. So I said, look, I explained to them, you get everything that I would normally put in a book. And that's the truth of the matter. A bonus epilogue is just something that is a little something extra that is in 5 or 10 years in the future. Mm-hmm. It's not something I would ever write into a book. And they can take it or leave it. The point is, you're not handcuffing them to it, you know, like you don't have to do it, and that's what I say, it's your choice, and it's also your choice to unsubscribe once you've got what you want. But it's a little, you know, if you want people to come and sign up for your email newsletter, you want to give them something to get there. So they're either going to get a free book when they get there, or they're going to get something to lead them to it, you know. And it works for me. I like it.
And if they're such a fan,
people are invested in the characters that
Oh, Wendy, your
sorry,
video is really
people
bad.
Are invested in the character at that stage. Characters at that stage, is that okay? I won't talk then.
So they're invested in the characters, and they should be interested.
Yeah,
and if they're that big a fan that they want to read that, then is signing up to your newsletter such a terrible deal? Like, I think most people would sign up, and if you're not signing up for it, then I don't know.
I think Wendy posed a valid point that you will always get some knockers and some people that will knock you. and you just have to rise above that and let it water off a duck's back, really.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
Some knockers. What other kind of content? So that's a good idea. I really like the bonus epilogue, the, you know, 5-10 years in the future. That's awesome. What other, like, I personally give away short stories that are prequels. Yes. So prequel short stories that people can't get anywhere else. And I've got another book it used to be the third book in the series, but it was a novella. It was 35,000 words, and I used to get actually a bit of pushback on people saying, oh, you know, why has she got this one? Why is it only 35,000 words or whatever? And so I actually took it out and I made it a bonus content for my newsletter, and I realized I didn't need it. It was a little bit of events that were happening that didn't really matter. I mean, it was nice to know what's happening, but it doesn't, the book, the series still flows without it. And I give that to my, and it's a good way to periodically remind people on my list about that series, like to say, oh, hey, you know, if you've read the Carnival series, there's this book here that you need to make sure that you read. And
it's actually a brilliant way of repurposing. So you haven't lost anything. You're giving it away for free, obviously, but you haven't lost that enticement, have you?
It's still there. It still can use it. Other content that you might
I liked use. Wendy's idea of a starter series. I've seen that several times. I think that's really brilliant. You know, taking your first book out of, you know, maybe three series. I think three is probably a really good amount.
I've done that. I've actually, I haven't finished setting it up. So bear in mind, it might suck as an idea. But I've got, and this is for Facebook ads to get people onto my newsletter. I've got the first three. So I've got the prologues for three series. So they're like 10, 20,000 word prequel novellas that I put together into a starter set. And then I've got Facebook ads ready to go that'll go and encourage people to sign up, and they'll get that free content. And then hopefully I can give them other content and get them excited and get them buying through that. So
watch the space.
I'll tell you how it goes. It might not, but hopefully. I wrote those, wrote two novellas specifically with the idea that they would be for that purpose. So.
It's really good, yeah.
What other content do we use for newsletter subscribing? Like, do you have any other things that you use? Do you use like maps?
I have heard of it.
I do giveaways. Are you getting me? I'm not behind. Okay. I do definitely do giveaways in my email newsletter content. Is this for sign up? Are we talking about or just
was sign for, up? We're going to move on to sign up, not for super fans.
Okay. Yeah, I you know, for me, my best sign up that I've had so far in the back of my book is definitely just the bonus content. That's where I was going to go with that. But I also did write, I had written seven books in the series, and then I wrote the prequel novella to it like you did. And then I gave that away as a free sign up. And I've had so many people say to me, oh, that was great. And what they did is once they read that, they then went on and read the whole series. So I think if you can explain the character that the scene, set the setting of the series that's coming in a prequel novella, and they love it enough, they will then come on and read. And even better if that's been read, if that's been written, you know, they just love it. That's been probably one of my favorites.
A good point from what you're saying is, like, for example, my Carnival series, I wrote a prequel novella that is set 300 years before the start of the Carnival, it's historical, and it's not quite the same, and it's set in a different place, and the Carnival hasn't started, and it doesn't give a sense. It might give a sense of my writing and the kind of magic that I have incorporated into it, but it doesn't give a sense of the world that they're in. Yeah. So a better prequel novella would have been one that was set in present day with the same characters that are going to be in the first book, or similar character, you know, that they show an appearance, and with a similar kind of feel and tone to what was in they can expect in the first book. And that's always been a problem.
And the thing is, like, the one I did for the Lake Howling series was about an extraneous character who comes in and out very randomly. But because I write romance, I wanted to have a romance link in there. So the romance was for her. who is nothing to do with the rest of the books in the series, but it brought all the other characters into her romance during the book. And that sort of just gave them a little, you know, idea of how I write, like you say, and the feel of the town. But there was also the romance element in there, because that's actually what you're going to write for them. So you've got to do, you've got to give them what they're going to get.
Yeah. I was going to say that that book sounds to me truly like something that you would give as bonus content.
Yeah.
And not as an enticement to read your work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did write it, to be fair, I think, as bonus content. It wasn't ever intended to be a kind of one that led into the series in that way.
Yes.
So but it's just when you are writing it specifically to either, to capture people into a newsletter and then lead them into the series, you've really got to think about what you're doing. Another great thing is kind of, I've seen other romance authors do this where they write a kind of a prequel novella, or they pull out a section of the book and they actually have it up on Amazon and it's free. So they call it a prequel novella. And they use that book, but there's a massive cliffhanger at the beginning of that, at the end of that book. And it's like the person has to buy the first book in the series to find out the answer to whatever the cliffhanger is. And that's a great way to kind of, that's about getting people from, and they advertise to the prequel novella. So the prequel free novella. And then they get them going from the, because it's such an enticing novella, because you've worked, like, in fact, you have to work really hard on those novellas to make them the kind of compelling content that makes the person really want to read on to the next book. But that's another way that you can get people to kind of into that funnel through your bonus kind of content, because it is free. They're getting it for free, but they have to move on to the paid content to get it, to get to the next bit. So any other?
Yes, I have a recipe book for my Cozy Mysteries. So they sign up to my newsletter and they get this free recipe book, which I'm constantly adding to, and they can get updates to it. You know, further along,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. So anything like that, that's just a little bit like, and you've got to know your market. That's the other really big thing. So if you're writing cozy mysteries and you know that you're the person that's reading it is, and I have no idea who reads cozy mysteries, but I'm, you know, a woman in her 50s who has grandkids, who wants to, who loves curling up in front of the fire or something, you know, and that kind of person, you know, that maybe they like baking and that they probably knit or, you know, whatever, like, then you can be doing those kinds of things, versus if your target audience is younger person who is not likely to bake but might want, I don't know what else, I'm struggling here, help me, but you've got to know your market and know what they're likely to want and then give that to them,
basically. Yeah, it can't be something obscure that doesn't fit in with you as an author or what you're offering. It has to be something relevant.
So it might be like, what I really loved was Mark Dawson's one, and he gave away, and I think it was as a newsletter enticement, but it was a redacted file of his main character John Milton, and a redacted file is one of those, you know, it was like a whatever secret service place he worked for. It was like a file all about him, and then they had bits crossed out that you weren't allowed to know because it was so top secret. And that kind of fit with the kind of feel and the tone of his thriller books and his main character. Like, that's really cool. And I've seen Penny Reid did kind of character profiles for her characters out of her Winston Brothers series, the Green Valley ones. And they were kind of like, it wasn't an HR file, but it kind of reminded me of that. And it would be like a picture of the character, and it would be like eye color and hair color and main personality characteristics and favorite quote. And it was just kind of giving people a sense of the character and who they were. And people seemed to think that they were pretty popular. And
it's like character interviews, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, they're great. I've given a few of those away, because when I get stuck when I'm writing, I'll just interview a character. But they love to see that.
We're kind of moving on to the super fan content. So you've got like people in Facebook groups, you've got people in your newsletters who are already on there, who you kind of want to feed the fandom, right? Like, you want to keep them included and feeling part of something. So the kind of content you give them is even maybe different again. I don't know. So character interviews, what else do you give your newsletters and Facebook groups?
Giveaways, you know, I think giveaways. So I have a shop, an author shop. And so I'll get some, you know, mugs or bags or things like t-shirts, whatever. So if I'm doing a giveaway, they can get a select whatever they want, rather than just giving them an Amazon voucher or you know, a book, or which is great too. But being in New Zealand, it's quite hard because we have to get the books here to sign them and then back again. You know, it's quite an expensive get up. So the Cafe Press thing works really well, just having that shop set up there.
And it's kind of advertising as well, isn't it? Because if they buy your product, it's branded for you, so therefore they're walking around with a bag that's got you or your work plastered all over it.
Or drinking coffee out of a mug with your name all over it, you know. So yeah, that sort of thing. And they love it, they love it. And you know, it is an acknowledgement of people that have been with you from the very beginning, or people that are reading your books constantly and love you. They just want to engage and interact, and that's, you know, and as an author, that's your bread and butter. Those are those super fans of your bread and butter. You know, they just want more. They want to know when the next thing's coming out, or, and you know, asking a question is really good, I think, as well. You know, like just saying to them, hey, I need a recipe for the muffin competition, or so, you know, like that's what I just did. I emailed out and said, hey, I need another new muffin recipe for this next book that it's going to have, you know, rah rah rah. So I had all these muffins fired back at me, you know, and so the winner got a gift, you know. So the winner got a giveaway, a bag or whatever it was. So, and that was cool too, because they like, there was the interaction, but it was the fun because they were giving me some of them, what they love, and stuff like that. So I think it's the personal side as well. You've got to be a bit more personal with them.
It's kind of encouraging them to interact with other fans of yours as well.
Absolutely.
So I think that's, you know, creating a dialogue or a conversation about something to do with Wendy Vella or Wendy Vella's books, I think that's pretty cool.
So the other thing that you do really well, Wendy, is your little videos that are in your Facebook group. You want to talk about them?
I haven't done one of those for a long time, but because I've just been a bit slack, to be fair. I do, because we're in New Zealand and it's quite hard to know where in the rest of the world to go live is quite hard because your timing and stuff like that. So I'll just do little videos of me reading an excerpt or someone else in the family reading an excerpt. And I think it's just a little bit better than having to just read it themselves on the page. I think they like to just hear it in my voice, which I think is a horrible accent, but they don't seem to mind. Or I'll be out somewhere and I'll just say, hey, you know, I'm out looking at this and what do you think of this? Or and I think the real secret is to not overcomplicate it. It's a personal thing.
Yeah. Don't overcomplicate it.
Don't overcomplicate. My voice was so slow. Sorry to listeners. We were me and Cheryl are sitting there going, do we leave it? She's still speaking.
She has rubbish internet where she is, don't you?
Clearly the internet's raining where I am.
It's been great all day.
There you go. Murphy's Law.
Life in the South Pacific. So one thing that Wendy did say was that when she got her daughter to read a scene from her book, it was actually one that had been really popular, in fact, more popular than Wendy reading it herself. So I don't know what it was about Sophie reading it, but
she is pretty cute.
She is adorable. So clearly that was it. They like looking at her rather than you, Wendy. note to self.
Nice. Friends like that, mate.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, who else would you need except me to keep you real? So what else? Like, there must be other stuff. Like, what other things do you give? Like, I mean, I give people in they get short stories and they get all that kind of stuff, like bonus content, like I've written for people, and character interviews. I really like Wendy talks about that. I know another author who I've subscribed to her newsletter, and she writes her newsletter as if it's her cats writing the newsletter. So she talks about the cats kind of being in charge our slave, our minion is doing this for us and that kind of thing, which is quite a cute thing. That's RJ Blaine, I think her name is. And I quite like that. So kind of creating that sort of theme, and then she's writing sort of a story within the newsletter. So it becomes part of the story, or what you're getting that's extra becomes part of the newsletter itself, which is quite a nice thing. So if you can think of something that falls in line with kind of your branding, I think that can work.
And I don't know if my internet's any good, but I'm going to charge on anyway.
Okay.
Lucy Score has her father coming in, Papa Score, and he'll come in and he'll talk in the newsletter, or her brother will come in and write an email newsletter, and he's hilarious. Like,
yes,
just
yes,
brilliant. He is. You know, that is sort he, of side of things, just changing it yes. up and getting. Yeah. yeah. Yeah,
it's really she's, too, brother she's too busy writing so, or editing, so he comes in and he says, oh, you know, I'm stepping in for
that's hilarious.
Lisa today, and yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea too, like just something a little bit different, but makes people feel like they're getting a little piece of your world, like they're getting a little bit closer to you. It's a different feel to say something that you're giving to someone who doesn't know you, like that you're putting in either in advertising or trying to get them to join. When they're trying to get them to join it, you're doing a different kind of thing to the cool kind of content. I actually much prefer the kind of content you can give to people who know you as an author, and you can kind of have a bit more fun with it than that kind of content that you're giving them when they don't know you.
Yeah. And it's nice to get that email back, isn't it? That you know, oh, thank you so much, or I love that book, or, you know, I mean, that's really cool. It's not what we do it for. It's still nice.
Another one that I do is a poll, and I get really my readers seem to love it, like asking them questions, like I had a would you rather, and I gave them three options of three different things they could be so it was like, you know, I had three different, but they were all urban fantasy style kind of, and they all involved romance or love, so there was like the three different scenarios, and I got so many replies to that. Like, people were like so keen to tell me which one they would prefer to be if they were going to be a particular type of shifter and the scenarios. It was really interesting. And I also have a poll, and it's part of my autoresponder for when people first join, and that's what kind of shifter are you? And it's like really silly. Like, it's like, you know, if you like to look at the end of rainbows for pots of gold and like to wear green on St. Patrick's Day, then you must be a leprechaun, and, you know, like that kind of, but they, again, people, I get more replies to that email and that kind of content than I do to just normal stuff. So thinking outside the square is a great way to.
And tweaking them to fit the genre that you're representing as well.
Wendy's trying to talk, but Wendy
sounds like she's playing a xylophone or something.
Yeah, and her fingers are stuck in a very awkward position around her nose.
I did a poll that again.
Yep. Go.
No.
Am I? No.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
No.
Okay. This is very awkward.
Say, quickly, okay, I did a poll on my characters. I did a poll on my characters' heroes. The heroes in each book, and they had to go off against each other every day until.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
And that was good. People participated, didn't
they? They did hugely.
Yeah, who their favorite characters were and stuff like that. Yeah. That was good. Mm-hmm. So anything that just builds engagement and gets people used to kind of interacting with you and thinking of you, basically, like thinking of you as a very clever author who they like to read, quite frankly.
Obviously, what the suggestions that we've got are different for where you are in your career and how many books you've got out, but arguably there's enough there for everybody, whether you've got one book out or whether you've got however many, like 60 like Wendy. But you can just do a small thing like a character sketch, or you can give away a starter pack of three books. You know, there's something for everybody, I think.
And it builds and builds. Like, once you've written that character sketch, it's still there, and you can be giving it to new people who come in. You could,
yes,
you can be, and periodically just resending it out to people, because when it's not 100% of people who open every single newsletter that we send out, right? So it doesn't hurt to sort of repeat that content, that they won't all be sort of repeating the same or reading the same emails. So. Mm-hmm. It just gives you more and more content that you can do. So even actually, I would suggest, and I used to do this, I used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and write for half an hour. And that was when I was writing my shorter things, like short stories, and I would just blat them out. I would just blah, 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 get it out. And I would have to edit them because it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and who can concentrate at that kind of, you know, but it was just getting into the, getting it down and getting something to edit and just having something out in the world. And so even just once a month, put aside a bit of time to, you know, a couple of hours to write, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 word short story. And at the end of the year, you've got 12 short stories, you know, like it doesn't have to be something that takes up a lot of time, but, and it's amazing how fast you can put something like that together. Like I wrote those novellas and just like that, like it wasn't, because they're a lot shorter than an entire book, and you don't really sort of realize how quickly you can actually put something like that together. So
you can always make some notes while you're writing the book that you're working on now for a short story, you know, think about it now for the future, so that it's not something that you're going to have to rack your brains for when you're, you know, five books down the track and you've forgotten what the first book was actually all about.
I even like the next series I write, I'm going to plot out the prequel and have and have it as part of the story, like a really important part of the story, so that you can, it's a more compelling kind of place to for people to start in and draw them into the series, hopefully. Yeah. So any more content, any more commentary, any more suggestions on bonus content?
I think that's heaps to keep people.
Okay, awesome. So sorry for the interesting sound today. I think on all, it seems to have been, all of us have kind of been a bit interesting today, but I've been getting a bit of feedback too, so I'm sorry the sound isn't amazing today, but we are experiencing rain and thunderstorms here in New Zealand, so perhaps that is why. But where can we be found, anyone? I think actually Wendy, you need to be quiet, and Cheryl, where can we be found?
We can be found at spargirlspodcast.com and spargirlspodcast on all the other social media platforms, and come and say hi. Leave a comment. See us on YouTube.
Yeah, and if you've got any suggestions for bonus content that you use that we haven't mentioned today, we'd love to hear about it.
There's always new ideas.
Yes, love to hear new ideas. So awesome. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Spa Girls podcast. Join us again next week for another episode. But for now, fare thee well.
Bye.